Martin McGuinness is the only leader to put an actual number on how many people, refugees, should come into Northern Ireland. He says a couple of thousand at first. What do you think? Is he right? Would you open up the doors in Northern Ireland to a couple of thousand refugees? And what about the other leaders in the country? What about the First Minister, Peter Robinson? Would he put a number on it? What about Mike Nesbitt? What about the leader of the SDLP and the leader of the Alliance Party? 0330 80 55 55. Everyone's saying that they are shocked by the photo of 3-year-old Aylin dead on a beach. It has changed hearts and it has changed minds. But Martin McGuinness, the only leader of this country to have put a figure on how many refugees should be allowed into Northern Ireland. 0330 80 55 55. This is our big story of the day. The biggest show in the country. Pressure has grown on the UK to take more people fleeing to Europe from Syria after the harrowing picture of the young boy Aylin Kurdi's body washed up on a Turkish beach shocked the world. The Deputy First Minister says Northern Ireland could take a couple of thousand refugees at first. We asked the DUP to come onto the programme today. They won't do so. Their leader has issued a statement, which we'll read in a second or two. This comes as David Cameron is expected to announce plans later to increase the number of refugees being allowed into the UK. Could we be doing something about this? Could Northern Ireland have a different position, a unique position on what we would do as a community? This is what we want to ask you today, 0330 80 55 55. And also, how welcoming would Northern Ireland be to foreign people? We've got to put that in context as well, don't we? The Sinn Féin MEP, Martina Anderson, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Martina.
Good morning.
Good morning. And David McNary of UKIP, obviously. Good morning to you, David. Morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Martina, Mr. McGuinness seems to be the only leader so far to have gone as far as putting a number on it.
Yeah, he has, because, you know, Martin knows very well it's not just our duty under UN law, but it's also our duty as human beings to offer a place of safety. Like, Aylin should have been playing on a beach, not washed up like a wave on a beach. The Mediterranean has turned into a floating cemetery. Of that, there is no doubt. 30,000 have drowned from 2,000. And just from March of this year, we've had 2,500 men, women, and little boys and little girls have drowned from Italy and Libya alone. Stephen, I visited Lampedusa. I went to Sicily. I held a 2-month-old baby. I talked to a little girl called Palestine. And to think that these people have, once they are rescued, even the way they are being treated. So without doubt, I think Ireland has got a humanitarian streak. And you talk about people being welcomed. I remember at the time of the Roma incident and the way they were attacked in Belfast. And for instance, a teacher in a school nearby, got his students to make sandwiches to take them down. From last night, from I appeared on UTV, I have been inundated on my Facebook, private messages, people sending me emails telling me they'll open up their homes, people I don't know, someone emailing me telling me they've 4 bedrooms, they've only got 1 child, they've 2 bedrooms. So in terms of people being welcoming, let's not reduce it to a negative minority of attitudes. There's everywhere. Don't just get it here.
David McNary, you saw the photograph of that young boy, and many people could argue that that shouldn't have changed any opinions because it's one photograph.
Well, look, it's very easy to, and I do understand those who, perhaps it's their makeup, getting emotionally hysteric over this. It was undoubtedly shocking photo in the front of yesterday's papers, as you say, and you'd really need to be a heartless brute not to have been sickened by the photograph of the little boy and had been carried by the Turkish soldier. It encapsulated the gravity of the migrant crisis, which is pressing hard against us and pressing hard in terms of, you know, responding responsibly and humanely to, you know, to what we have here, which is wave upon wave of people taking terribly risks in order to get to parts of Europe, including the United Kingdom. And, you know, I hear this stuff now about this clamour to open our doors, to work out whose door we have to, whose door is it we're talking about.
Well, it's not a door that would be open to economic migrants. It's a door that would be open to refugees, David, who are fleeing for their lives.
I think that what we've got to do is take a step back. There's no doubt that that photograph locked people into the issue who probably hadn't. And as I say, emotions are undoubtedly running high. I know how I felt about saying it myself, but we've got to look at this rationally. We've got this in the United Kingdom.
Well, look at it rationally. Martin McGuinness says a couple of thousand. Let's interpret that as two. So what harm would be done to Northern Ireland bringing in 2,000 refugees?
Well, hang on. He says a couple of thousand at first.
Correct.
So what's second and what's third and what's fourth and what's fifth? Because we need to look at the United Kingdom. We've allowed 640,000, and I repeat that, 640,000 already into our country in the latest annual figures. And that's not for those who are unaccounted, who've illegally come in here on lorry.
But David, when look, you're entitled to your opinion, obviously.
Well, you're asking me for my opinion.
And I know you are.
I'm very glad that you've asked me for my opinion, because when we've been doing the local Northern Ireland politics and the mess we're in there, you didn't phone me, you didn't phone UKIP for our opinion. You went to the top parties, who obviously are ignoring you this morning. So I'm very glad to give you my opinion.
Well, Sinn Féin's on the programme this morning. It's the DUP deciding they don't want to talk about refugees on Nolan this morning. That's their programme.
And
up
the
to them.
Unionist and the Alliance Party.
SDLP are here, Alliance are here.
All right. Oh, good. You've got them all lined up. Good.
And we're asking the Ulster Unionist Party now. The DUP is the only party that's turned us down. That's up to them. That's not a problem. Let's focus here. Do you think it's appropriate, David McNairy, when we are talking about this sensitive issue, to describe it as emotional hysteria? These are dead kids we're talking about.
I understand that. Then so I'm talking about...
Where's the emotional hysteria
I'm
around that?
I'm talking about the reaction to it. The reaction to it is, how do we cope with this? Are we going to bring people in to give them shelter, heat and food? Because nobody would say, no, I wouldn't do that.
You are saying no to that, are you not?
No. There's nobody would say, I wouldn't do that. But are we going to give them permanent residence? Where will the houses come from? The jobs, where will the jobs come from? And the school places be found eventually? And how will that sit with the people who today in my country are looking for a job, they're willing on a house, and they're unable to get their child the school place that they want?
What would you say to this, Martina?
I'm just asking how people, that we take, where we take a firm grip of this to see how people might react.
Martina?
To see how we handle it and how we move it forward.
Go on, Martina.
Well, David, you know, I was in the Assembly with you, and I found before you joined UKIP that there was more humanity in you. How dare you say that? Who do you think you are coming off with that type of rhetoric? Excuse me a minute. I didn't interrupt you. Now, have a bit of political manners. How dare you describe people, emotion, heartfelt reaction, genuine reaction, as emotional hysteria? The dehumanizing language that I hear from your party is absolutely nothing short of appalling.
Let's be
appalling.
Practical,
there are 16.7 million refugees.
You want 2,000 people in now at
will
first.
Will you listen to me now and have a bit of manners?
Next time.
Now, hold on. We need to be able to hear you both. Go on, Martina.
There's 16.7 million refugees. Four-fifths of those go to the developing world. Pakistan, for instance.
I know that. Lebanon. We all know that.
Jordan. Oh, you know it. So you know that only 0.01% of the population of Europe, that's what the total amounts to. 15% among the USA, Canada, Australia, and 28 member states. So don't you use hysterical language and figures to describe a humane situation.
And we know that number's
of course we can cope with.
And that's what's wrong with you, David. You don't accept the fact that there is a genuine thread of humanity running through our
community. Oh, I do, and that's definitely wrong, Martina.
No matter what position you come from, people are responding.
I do accept that.
Absolutely.
I dare you be putting that type of
thing. So what is emotional hysteria? When people have looked at that young boy lying dead on a beach, a three-year-old David, and they're reacting to it. Is that what you're describing?
Hysteria from Martina. That's the type of stuff that's coming out. That's emotional hysteria.
But how is it emotional hysteria for people to react to a three-year-old child lying dead on a beach, David?
No, instead of... Look, there's no one... I don't know anybody who wasn't upset about seeing those photographs. And it is amazing that it seems to have taken that one photograph, that terrible, terrible happening on that beach to that young boy and his brother and his mother, to have rocked the whole world, to all of a sudden have wakened up, hang on a second, we have a problem here. And then for people to be rushing to say, let's do this, let's do that, and it all sounds very good. But what I'm saying is, let's think about who we're taking in, how we can take them in, how we encourage people, and in fact, do we want to take them in the numbers that are already coming into our country?
And he's got a point, Martina, doesn't he? Like, for example, Martina Anderson, what did Martin McGuinness, what calculation did he make to come up with a figure of a couple of thousand? In other words, a couple means two. So has Sinn Féin done any type of analysis of where the 2,000 figure came from?
Let me tell you, Martin McGuinness is like myself. Martin McGuinness is getting inundated with people approaching him in the street.
The question is, how did he come up with a figure of 2,000?
2,000 probably even wouldn't represent the amount of people that have come up to him personally and offered help and says that they would help, that they would open their homes. I mean, the countless number of people that is saying that they are willing. 2,000 is not the figure, and people shouldn't get caught up in that figure. This is about what we should be doing.
Real policy, Martina.
Yes, real policy.
Needs a real figure.
Of course.
Your leader's actually, to be fair, your leader's the only leader of this country to have given a figure on it. But I'm trying to understand, where's his analysis? Did he say it from the gut, or has he sat down and thought about it?
No, he has sat down and thought about it. Martin McGuinness, when we were launching a manifesto for the last election, held a meeting with me about this whole situation, about Europe's migration policy. As a consequence of that, I went to Italy. I went to Sicily. This is not an emotional, hysterical reaction from me because of a three-year-old little boy that has broke many people's hearts. We've been dealing as a party for this for months, and it certainly wasn't that photograph that provoked Martin McGuinness. Martin McGuinness, who has thought about it deeply, he has spoken to me and the Sinn Féin MEP team on a number of occasions about us needing to be the front of this, about us needing to make sure that we put policies in place, that we look at how we can get a massive, robust international search and rescue operation. He talked about there needed to be boats at high sea. He asked me about an organisation, an agency that is being spent, Europe is spending over £2 million a week to keep people out. And just to say this to you, this agency has 328 vessels, 52 helicopters, and they haven't yet went out in a search and rescue operation.
Let's say we think at home. Stay there, David and Martina. Lots of reaction to this morning. Every line into the BBC jammed. That shows you how reactive this is. 030 30 80 55 55. John in Belfast, first call of the day. Go on, John.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, this, of course, it was terrible that child was washed up on the beach in Turkey. But actually, that family arrived at a safe haven as refugees, asylum seekers. Once they stepped onto a boat, they became economic migrants. Now, if I was to put my family on a boat from Lorne to Scotland that wasn't seaworthy, and I survived, I would be done for manslaughter. So that family made a decision to put their children's lives at risk, not for seeking asylum, but to better their lives, economic migrants.
That three-year-old child made no decision.
Their family did.
Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. First of all, my sympathy goes out to the father who's left after he lost his wife and two children. Now we get back to the real world. Mr. McGuinness, to me, his party is the party that is stopping the welfare benefits being cut in line with what's happening in the rest of the UK. Now, he's talking about 2,000 people coming to Northern Ireland. He hasn't worked out the cost. Average cost, man and wife and four children, would be £12,000 a year. At the moment, the health service can't cope. It needs more money. One other point. Britain gives to the Overseas Development Fund 0.7% of our economy, right? Now, there are 28 countries in the EU. The other 26 don't come up to that standard. The United Kingdom gives us more, far more, than the other 26 put together. So where's all the money coming from? Are we going to be taxed higher?
Martina, would you like to speak to John?
John, just because you mentioned the health
service.
Jim, you mentioned the health service. According to the BMA, 26% of the National Health Service doctors are born abroad. You know, and many of the National Health Services would struggle to provide some kind of effective care.
No, his point, Martina, was how can we afford to open the doors to 2,000 refugees? Jim's point is that we're talking about welfare reform in a different context and other shows and how there's a lack of money around Northern Ireland. And now your party wants to allow 2,000 refugees into Northern Ireland. At what cost?
Absolutely.
At what cost? Have you costed it?
Have we costed it? That figure, it was 2,000 and maybe more after that. But as that, what is needed is an executive to sit down to agree that figure, that that's something that the executive could deal with, that the North, the people certainly could deal with it.
Can we afford it?
I believe we could.
That's your question, Jim, isn't it?
Yes,
I believe,
Jim, that we will find a way to make sure that these people are looked after.
Can I ask you one question?
Well, ask her a question quickly because she has to go to be fair to her.
Mr. McGuinness states the number of people wants to come. You haven't answered my question. Has he costed out how much money it's going to cost? Obviously, he hasn't. He has just determined that I'm second minister here, so we'll bring them in. Why don't you have a referendum and ask the public? It's the public taxpayers' money. Ask them, are they prepared? We haven't enough houses in Northern Ireland at the moment. We haven't got a good enough welfare service at the moment. And it's your party that seems to be blocking everything. That's all I have to say. I'm very, very annoyed at the answer she gave.
Jim,
a politician?
Jim, have a wee bit of political manners. There's 610,000 empty homes in England alone. If we were to look at Trident, we spend $500 million to kill people. So what would we pay to save people? So on your particular point, Jim, if we were to put it to the people in a heartbeat would respond in the way that they have responded. And thankfully, unfortunately, it has been at a terrible, terrible
time. Okay.
Martina, we have responded.
We believe you have to go this morning, but thank you for coming on. 030 30 80 55 55. Quite a lot of reaction already this morning to the UKIP MLA, David McNary, who described people's reaction to three-year-old Aylin, who was lying dead on a beach, as emotional hysteria. Here's what Mr. McNary said on Nolan about 10 minutes ago.
It's very easy to, and I do understand those who, perhaps it's their makeup, getting emotionally hysterical over this. It was undoubtedly shocking photo in the front of yesterday's papers, as you say, and you'd really need to be a heartless brute not to have been sickened by the photograph of the little boy.
Emotionally hysteric. Stephen and Derry, what's your reaction to that?
Morning, Stephen. Just, you know, what can you say to something like that? You know, what can you say to David McNairy that, you know, that's going to make him change his mind? Because he's obviously set in his ways, as is other members of his own party.
Did you react in an emotionally hysteric way when you saw the photo?
Well, you can't feel anything but emotion, Stephen, when you see. I have four children myself, so, you know, you try and put yourself in that position. You know, you're trying to, you know, we live our life as parents to, you know, provide for our children. And when you see children like that are struggling, you know, it's very difficult, Stephen, to put on the words how I would feel personally. Like, I'm not educated enough to make silly remarks like David does on the radio. You know, I just come on and give me view. But, you know, there's another member of his party yesterday that said it was greed that got this child killed. Greed from his parents. And I'm wondering how David would reply to that remark from one of his party members.
What do you think we should do?
We should open our doors, Stephen. You know, in Iceland, 10,000 people have said that they would bring in one family each. That's 10,000 families in Iceland. Surely we can do something here, Stephen. I'm not, as I say, I'm not educated enough to know what to do, Stephen. But I would do all I could to help.
Well, like, when you say you're not educated, I don't like people saying that, because you don't need qualifications to have a valid opinion in this country. And it's very much in the DNA of that programme. That's our ethos, right? So forget about, you know, what level of education you have. How do you feel about this as a citizen of Northern Ireland?
Well, I feel very disappointed, Stephen, with some of the comments that have already been viewed. The fellow yesterday that said, you know, that we look after British children first. You know, that's, you know, to me, that's just silly talk. What I would do, Stephen, is I would try and do my best, whether it's financial or whether it's, you know, giving someone shelter or giving someone a home. Like, I don't have a big house, but I could make room for one person, maybe, you know, if I could. And I think if we all do a wee bit, just a wee bit, it would help the situation, you know. But they have this sort of language from David and other politicians about hysteria. Of course, we're all emotional about it, Stephen, because we see it, you know. Thankfully now, the world's a smaller place, and the media plays a big part in the way that we think. And I'm glad for it. I'm glad for social media. I'm glad for the news that we have, the, you know, Sky News and all the rest of it, because it brings home to everybody here the plight of these people out in these other countries.
Stephen, thank you. We're clearing the boards this morning. There are so many calls coming in about this. So many of you want to talk about it. Every political party in Northern Ireland wants to talk on Nolan about it this morning as well, except the DUP. Their leader has said the UK has a proud history of providing a safe haven for refugees, and we have a responsibility to do so again. Danny Kinahan, the Ulster Unionist Party MLA. Good morning to you, Danny. MP, should I say. Good morning to you, Danny.
Thank you. I think we have to do something about this.
But what, Danny?
There are various points we've got to do. We've got to work through Europe to work out how we meet the crisis that exists at the moment and long term. We have at Westminster, because that is where immigration is controlled, to work out how we can afford it, how we can take them in. And then locally, we need to look at how many people are willing to help, how we can do it here. I met with churches 2 days ago, and the comments I was getting were people offering to take people. We need to work from both ends. We should be taking people on here. I think it's dangerous to put a number on. We want to take as many as we can.
Why is it dangerous, Danny, to put a number on it rather than it being the sign of a leader to put a number on it? Because if there is to be any constructive policy, it's going to need a number to be effective.
Yes, I think at the top end, you've probably got to put some number on it so you can pressurise it. But at this end, let's sit down and work out what we can take, who's willing to take it, and how we do it. But from one of the conversations I had, I was told immigration is going to be the key problem, because the rules are set in such a way that they won't just bring someone in and pass them to a family. They want them to go to a refugee centre to be properly managed and brought on board. And we've got to change a whole lot of systems so that we can take the people on board. And we've then got to make sure we have the finance for it. But we must do something now.
And yet, well, now's the word. And yet these people need something. There's no point of policy being created in 3 months' time.
That's right. But we could do it. I mean, Westminster starts next week. Stormont starts next week, question mark. And we've got to all start working and pulling it together. But I think the key is do something.
You're one of the local representatives on the ground representing Northern Ireland in Westminster, Danny. So
yeah.
If you were asked the question, how many people do you think Northern Ireland can reasonably take at this point? Because it would be a reasonable question for anyone to ask. if they were looking at a serious analysis of what a policy should be, what would you say? So our Deputy First Minister says 2,000. Higher? Lower? What do you think?
It could be higher. When I was talking to someone earlier, they said we should really be taking one person in for every 1,000. And, I mean, 2,000 doesn't seem unreasonable. Let's look at 2,000 and see how you do it, and if we can then do more, you expand it. But at the same time, we've got to keep a focus on what we're doing here as well, and for our own people. But I think 2,000 seems reasonable.
So what should happen next?
Next is we need the executive here to discuss what they're going to do. We probably need to get the churches and the communities together to work out how they can help, and those of us going to Westminster, push at Westminster to get David Cameron and the Conservatives to open the door, which I think the petition last night will put the pressure on him to bring more people in. And at the same time, we work through our MEPs. And I was listening to Martina. We're all going in the right route, but we've got to start and try and get answers there next week.
And yet the danger, some people would argue, could be, as David McNary described it, that we're being, quote, emotionally hysteric over that picture of three-year-old Aylin.
I think we have all sorts of reason you see that picture, because it drags everyone's heartstrings. But we've got to deal with the problem, whether it's seen as hysteria or not. It's common humanity to help people who are in trouble, and that's the angle we should look at it.
OK, David, thank you very much indeed. Gerry and Derry. Morning, Gerry.
Morning, Stephen. There are 18 Westminster constituencies in the north of Ireland. Divide the 2,000 and those 18, and you're talking about 120 people coming on day. My constituency, Derry. And I can assure you, below those 120 people on Monday morning, I know where we can put them. Evan Kambarek's sitting over there, and there was a call went out this morning. The joiners, the plasterers, the plumbers, the electricians, we could have that as a temporary facility because it's lying empty. So 120 people in the Derry area. You have Bobby Kelly sitting up.
Okay. Gerry, thank you.